Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, December 23rd, 2021, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 2. We are in verse 28, and this is one of the great verses in the scriptures that present both the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ. 1 John 2:28. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 2:28. And now, dear children, he is not addressing children, he's addressing his congregation. Keep on abiding in him. And that is John's, one of his favorite words is the Greek word meno, to stay, to remain, to abide. He is using it specifically for staying in fellowship with God, stay living the Spirit-filled life, living the unique spiritual life of the church age. All of that is in that verb, meno, translated, keep on abiding in him. For the purpose that when he appears, the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. That's the next prophetic event on God's calendar in the scriptures. That we might have confidence and might not be disgraced and put to shame. This now shifts from the rapture to what will happen following the rapture, which is the efficiency rating for the royal family of God. We will all be evaluated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that great efficiency rating will result in winners and losers and everything in between. Winner believers will have the most fantastic confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. They will look forward to it. They're always looking forward to it. The winner believer, because he's had virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, he has personal love for God the Father. That motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And he has occupation with Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has become his most important love. The Lord Jesus Christ has made himself at home in his heart. And when that is reality in your soul, you're constantly looking forward to him coming at the rapture. You're looking forward to it. You know it's getting closer every day. In fact, our evangelism team, it was great. After about 2 years, Satan has shut things down with this COVID pandemic. For the first time in 2 years, our evangelism team, great, we have the most phenomenal evangelism team that has proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ all over this city, all over southern Nevada, and including other towns around about. And as they presented the gospel of Jesus Christ and then sat down individually with the people, there were about 40 people that were there for that evangelism meeting. And they went through the LPB, the little purple booklet, and lots of positive volition. Pray for those people. They all have a gospel booklet. Pray for them that they'll read it. Pray for them that God will bring many of them into heaven. And the staff members as well, a lot of the staff were there listening to the gospel and responding. And one of the staff members came up to one of the members of the evangelism team and said, "I am really looking forward to the rapture." And whoever it was that she said it to, "We are really looking forward to the rapture too." Next, I mean, that's right along with "Let's go, Brandon," you know. And then they gave him a big hug. Hopefully, Satan has been winning the battle. He's not going to win the war, but he's been winning the battle, shutting down evangelism, and hopefully now it'll open up and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ can go forward like before. That it was phenomenal all year long. The evangelism team was presenting the grace gospel. Here you have in this verse the rapture followed by the judgment seat of Christ. We will all be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. The winner believers will be there with great confidence. They have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. They love Jesus Christ. He's their most important love. He's made himself at home in their heart. They enjoy him moment by moment, day by day. And because of that, they have Christmas every day. By the way, if you've just started your shopping for Christmas, I will bet you did not have Christmas today. By the way, rain in the desert is a blessing. We are being blessed today. We're going to be blessed all the way through Christmas and past Christmas. We might even get snow and it'll melt. That counts too. Rain is a blessing in the desert. So this is fantastic. Debbie just went. She was here at the church, and there was one thing she wanted to do. She just wanted to go up to one store. It took forever to get to the store. It's just up the street. When she got there, she stood in line for a long, long time. She was about an hour late coming back. I didn't eat till 3. That's late for him. My dinner is usually at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's usually my dinner here. 3 o'clock, man, I was growling and all kinds of stuff. She says, you cannot believe the mob that is out there. I said, well, did you say, Merry Christmas, everybody? You know. Well, if you're just starting, you're probably not going to have Christmas today or tomorrow. But for the one who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart, he has Christmas every day. And I expect all of you to have Christmas every day. And I expect you to have Thanksgiving every day. If you don't, you have no one to blame but yourself. Because you have the communication of the grace and truth of the Word of God that will bring you to spiritual maturity where you can have Christmas every day. The winner believer will have confidence. The loser believer will be disgraced and put to shame at the judgment seat of Christ by him. So he says here, for the purpose that when he appears, keep abiding in him. Keep living the spiritual life. Keep living the Spirit-filled life in fellowshipping with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. For the purpose that when he appears, the rapture, we might have confidence and might not be disgraced and put to shame by him, Jesus Christ, at his coming, in his presence at the judgment seat of Christ. Shame is defined as a painful feeling that originates in the conscience of your soul. There is something in your soul that is dishonorable, wrong, sinful, or that causes terrible regret. Shame in the soul of the believer is embarrassment. Embarrassment over failure. Failure to fulfill God's plan for your life. Under the principle of equal privilege, equal opportunity, and great spiritual freedom that God has given to all of us, royal family. The greatest embarrassment of all human history is for the believer to arrive at the judgment seat of Christ in his resurrection body under the equal privilege, equal opportunity, spiritual freedom principle to discover that he failed to execute God's plan, will, and purpose for his life. He will lose all greater grace blessings for the eternal state. In contrast, the believer who lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advances to spiritual maturity not only has the benefit of his greater grace blessing for time, but also his greater grace blessing for the eternal state. And these blessings are so great that they can't even be described. The loser believer has no excuse as he stands before Jesus Christ in his resurrection body because he had the same equal privilege and equal opportunity to fulfill God's plan for his life. But he was always distracted by something or someone away from the spiritual life and into the cosmic system. And therefore, to avoid shame at the judgment seat of Christ, the believer must live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and advance to spiritual maturity. And you alone are the only one who can live the spiritual life God has given you. No one else can live it for you. I can't live it for you. I can teach you exactly what it is from the God-breathed scriptures, but I can't live it for you. You and you alone are the only one who can live this unique spiritual life. So this fantastic verse, 1 John 2:28, teaches the importance of living the unique spiritual life in order to avoid shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Abiding in Christ is fellowshipping with God, is living the Spirit-filled life. It's living the unique spiritual life with emphasis on virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. Fellowship with God is broken when we sin. And when we sin, and that's all the sin, the temptation comes from the sin nature in your body, and you have a volition that guards your soul. From your own volition, all you got to say is no. Not a hard word to learn. No. You're going to have temptations from your sin nature come all the time. All you have to say is no. And if you don't say no and you say yes, the temptation becomes sin, and the old sin nature now controls your life. Now your life is controlled by the sin nature and its lust patterns. But who turned it over? You did. All you had to do was say no to the temptation and keep living the spiritual life by the filling of the Spirit and have God the Holy Spirit control your soul. There's no comparison. When the Holy Spirit controls your soul, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. When the Holy Spirit controls your soul, this is what's being produced in you and through you. The very character of Jesus Christ is being produced in you and through you. But when you say yes to the temptation and sin, you turn the control of your life over to the sin nature with its lust patterns. And you immediately enter into Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. So fellowship with God, living the spiritual life, is broken when we sin. When we utilize God's grace provision of rebound, we get up and fight another round. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love for God the Father and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with you all." Fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 18, keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit to live the spiritual life. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of your sin nature. God's problem-solving devices provide the basis for your fellowship with God. Your fellowship with God is restored through rebound, 1 John 1:9, Psalm 32:5. And then your fellowship with God is characterized by the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the faith rest life. Being aware of the grace of God and grace function and grace orientation. Having a personal sense of destiny where you live your life in the light of eternity. Having personal love for God the Father, motivating impersonal love for all mankind. Sharing the happiness of God and being occupied with Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ. When you reach that point of occupation with Christ, to live is Christ. And to die is profit. So by living your spiritual life, By the spiritual skills, you avoid shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Well, there's a very important doctrine then from this verse, 1 John 2:28, the doctrine of shame. The doctrine of shame. Point one, the loser believer has shame at the judgment seat of Christ. That's seen in our verse, 1 John 2:28, but it's also taught in other passages. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. The loser believer has shame at the judgment seat of Christ. We see that in our verse. And we're even commanded to keep on abiding in Him, because we are going to stand before Jesus Christ, and you want to stand there with confidence, not with shame. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Philippians 3, 18. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears. Now, I told you last night, the Apostle Paul was the toughest believer that ever lived on this earth. He was absolutely tough. He's not a crybaby. I've seen some of these televangelists and so forth on TV, and they start crying on TV. It just galls me to no end. Why in the hell am I watching this in the first place? You know, somebody ought to go up and just slap that. What's wrong with you? Now, Paul's not a crybaby. But when he was alone, he has led so many people to the Lord. He's given the gospel and seen people believe in Christ. He's taught them Bible doctrine. He's seen them grow up, start out making good decisions, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And then he watches them crash and burn. They don't say no to the temptation. They turn their life over to the sin nature and its lust patterns. They let people, sometimes it's their own family. Their own family, or loved ones, or friends, or associates, or people at work, distract you into the cosmic system where they're living. They're living in the cosmic system, and you follow and go right along. And you crash and burn right along with them. And Paul saw that. And for any faithful communicator, that is frustrating. That is frustrating for any faithful communicator. You beat your brains out. You study and teach and study and teach and study and teach. And then people who should know better turn their life over to the sin nature, its lust patterns, and live in Satan's cosmic system. And it was so frustrating that Paul, he wept. He was alone. He didn't do it when he was in public. And that's why this is, when Paul says that he wept, that's something. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many, and these many are believers. Many believers live as enemies of the cross of Christ. They're Christians. And they think they're great believers. They're not. They're losers. Living as enemies of the cross of Christ. And their destiny is destruction, the sin unto death. Their God is their emotions. And their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, preoccupied with the things of the cosmic system. That's their life. They're preoccupied with the things of the cosmic system. God and His Word doesn't mean a damn thing to them. They're living in the cosmic system. They're preoccupied with the people and the things in the cosmic system. Now Paul, as you see, if you read this Philippians 3:18, now you see the compassion that Paul had as a mature believer. He had tremendous compassion. He was weeping from frustration because of the arrogance and the negative volition of believers who could care less about what the Word of God has to say. Even though Paul faithfully and accurately continued to teach the grace and truth of God's Word. There's never been a Bible teacher except possibly Moses who taught like the Apostle Paul. These believers had not been faithful, had not been consistent in their metabolization and application of God's Word to their life. So, one, this passage very powerfully says all loser believers are enemies of the cross. Verse 18. All loser believers are enemies of the cross. Two, they die the sin unto death. Verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. They die the sin unto death. Their destiny is destruction. Verse 19. This is the eschatology of every loser believer in the church age. They fail to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. They have equal privilege, equal opportunity. They have the spiritual freedom to do so. But from their own free will, they choose to say yes to temptation, turn their life over to the sin nature, and enter the cosmic system. Three, they fail to glorify God in time, and therefore they have no glory, no blessing at the judgment seat of Christ. Their glory is to their shame. Verse 19. They fail to glorify God in time, and therefore they have no glory, no blessing at the judgment seat of Christ. Their glory is to their shame. Verse 19. For on earth they had wrong priorities and wrong scale of values. Verse 19. Their mind is on earthly things. That is, they are preoccupied with cosmic system things. So on earth, they had wrong priorities and wrong scale of values. Verse 19, their mind is on earthly things. Five, therefore they have shame at the judgment seat of Christ. They have shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Six, Christian losers glory in the things of the cosmic system, which are shameful for Christians. Christian losers glory in the things of the cosmic system, which are shameful for Christians. Verse 19. 7. They glory in their shame now, but in resurrection bodies, that shame will come back on them as they face Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. They glory in their shame now, but in their resurrection bodies, that shame will come back on them as they face the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Eight, they will have the embarrassment of failure to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for their lives. They will have the embarrassment of failure to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for their lives. So point one again, the loser believer has shame at the judgment seat of Christ. We see that in 1 John 2:28, a verse. We see it in Philippians 3:18 and 19. We see it in 1 Corinthians 15. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15:33 and 34. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, 33 and 34. Verse 33. Stop being deceived. Stop being deceived. And then we have, it isn't bad company. It's kakos company. And you can tell that's got to be... You can just list. That's onomatopoetic there. K-A-K-O-S. You don't want to be hanging around kakos company. Now, who are kakos company? A lot of times they're your own family who are living in the cosmic system. And you let them distract you into it. A lot of times they're your loved ones. Sometimes it's your friends. Sometimes it's people you work with. Stop being deceived. Evil company corrupts honorable character. There's no virtue because you allow these people to distract you into the cosmic system. You have no, and you wind up with no virtue and no honor, no integrity. And then he says in verse 34, come to your senses. Come to your senses righteously. And stop sinning, for there are some who have no knowledge of God. And I say this to your shame. One, these believers are ignorant of God, even though they sat under the teaching of Paul. And you say, how can you be ignorant of God and sit under the greatest Bible teacher of all time? These believers are ignorant of God even though they sat under the teaching of Paul. They were distracted into Satan's cosmic system by their family, their loved ones, their friends, their associates living in the cosmic system. So these believers are ignorant of God, even though they sat under the teaching of the Apostle Paul. They allowed themselves to be distracted into Satan's cosmic system by family, loved ones, friends, associates into the cosmic system. Two, Paul warns them, you better come to your senses and stop sinning. Stop allowing these people to distract you into the cosmic system. You better come to your senses. Three, that is, it starts with rebound. You gotta acknowledge, you gotta see your own sins and failures and be honest and have the humility to say, I'm wrong. If you want to be really honest, you could say, I'm a jackass. Now that'd be real honest. And if you need other help, well, let me know. I'll give you a few more words you can throw in there while you're talking to God. You got to be honest with God. I am 100% wrong, sir. So it starts with rebound. Getting out of the cosmic system. Get back into fellowship with God. Get back into the filling of the Spirit. Get back into living the spiritual life. Four. However, if they don't heed this warning, then they will have shame at the judgment seat of Christ. However, if they don't heed this warning, they will have shame at the judgment seat of Christ. At the judgment seat of Christ, every believer of the church age will stand in their resurrection body and be evaluated. For those who are winners, the Lord Jesus Christ will convey their greater grace blessings for the eternal state. Blessings which glorify God forever and ever and ever. For those who are losers, their greater grace blessings will remain on deposit in the eternal hall of records in heaven as a memorial to lost opportunity to fulfill God's plan. At that point, the loser believer will stand in a resurrection body in a state of shame. Now, This is going to happen, and it's going to be you and the Lord. Don't think that it's going to be millions of people standing there and he'll point a finger at you. No, it'll just be you and the Lord. But to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with shame, after he has given you everything you need, equal privilege, equal opportunity, spiritual freedom, what did you do with it? What did you do with what God, he gave you everything you need? And you will have embarrassment and shame and disgrace before Jesus Christ. But in the Word of God, there's no indication in Scripture that this shame will be perpetuated beyond the judgment seat of Christ. It will be there at the judgment seat of Christ, but there's no place in the Word of God that says this shame will be perpetuated beyond the judgment seat of Christ. So that's point one. Point two. You all have equal privilege and equal opportunity to be winner believers and stand before Jesus Christ with great confidence at the judgment seat of Christ, and not shame. And that's our passage, 1 John 2:28. And now, dear children, keep on abiding in Him. Keep on staying in fellowship with Him. Keep on living the Spirit-filled life. Keep on living the spiritual life. Why? For the purpose that when He appears, the rapture, we might have confidence and might not be disgraced and put to shame by Him, by Jesus Christ, in His presence at the judgment seat of Christ. One, you're the product of your own decisions. You're the product of your own decisions. You can't blame your mother. You can't blame your mother for dropping you on your head when you were 6 weeks old. You can't blame it on your father. You can't blame it on your husband. I know a lot of you wives would love to blame it on you. You can't blame it on your husband. Can't blame it on your wife. I know a lot of parents like to blame it on their children. A lot of children want to blame it on their parents. You can't do that. You can only blame yourself. So stop pointing your finger at everybody else. If you want to point a finger, just point it at yourself. And then look in the mirror. You're the product of your own decisions. Two, you're free to succeed and you're free to fail. We have a free will. We're free to succeed, we're free to fail. We're free to learn the Word of God and apply it in every situation, in every circumstance. Learn the Word of God and apply it at work, at the job, in marriage, in the family. You're free to learn it and apply it and glorify God. You're free to succeed, you're free to fail. Three, there's a great difference between winner and loser believers in eternity. A great difference between winner and loser believers in eternity. Winner believers will have their greater grace blessing for eternity that will glorify God forever and ever. The loser believers will lose out on those greater grace blessings. Winner believers will have a special uniform of light, brilliant light. Loser believers will have a uniform as well, but it'll be very dim, and then there's everything in between. Just as you look up in the universe and you see all the different stars, and there's a lot of things you're looking at are galaxies, but there's some that are bright and some are not so bright and so on. That's the way it'll be with the believers and the uniform they wear. Everything from winner believers, which will be the brightest uniform, and to loser believers, which is the very dim uniform, and everything in between. But it will be that way forever and ever and ever. There's a great difference between winner and loser believers in eternity. Four, freedom guarantees inequality. Freedom guarantees inequality. And where is our freedom? Well, you have positional freedom. The moment you believe in Christ, you're entered into union with Christ, positional freedom. You have experiential freedom through the filling of the Spirit, the power to live the unique spiritual life. And we're going to be seeing that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're just getting started in chapter 2. Chapter 3 is a whole chapter on glory, and it concludes with the glory of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, the glory of the filling of the Spirit, which gives you the freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's the conclusion of the great chapter 3 in 2 Corinthians. So you see, we're going to keep plodding. We're in a great chapter now in chapter 2. Wait till we get to chapter 3. Glory, fading glory, and glory that is increasing glory. Fading glory, increasing glory. The difference between the Mosaic law and the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit to live the spiritual life. You're free to succeed, you're free to fail. There's a great difference between winner and loser believers in eternity. Freedom guarantees inequality. Five. So the issue is, what are you going to do with your spiritual freedom God has given you? What are you going to do with the equal privilege and equal opportunity God has given you? You see, that's been given to you in the portfolio of invisible assets, the primary assets of election and predestination, which gives us all equal privilege and equal opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. What are you going to do with that? 6. Volition is the issue in your spiritual life. Not your environment, not your circumstances. Your volition, your free will. So volition is the issue in your spiritual life, not your environment, not your circumstances. 7. Your attitude toward God and His Word is the issue in your spiritual life. Your attitude toward God and His Word is the issue in your spiritual life. 8. The filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit has given us all equal ability to know and understand the absolute truth of God's Word. The filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit has given every member of the royal family equal ability to know and understand the absolute truth of God's Word. So point 2 in the doctrine of shame, you all have equal privilege and equal opportunity to be winner believers and stand before Jesus Christ with great confidence at the judgment seat of Christ and not with shame. Point 3. Self-motivation of the spiritual life. And this self-motivation of the spiritual life comes by the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God. Self-motivation of the spiritual life avoids shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Self-motivation of the spiritual life avoids shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Turn over to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. All right, we start out with that point one. We have a do your best. We have 3 English words. There's only 1 Greek word. Spoudazo. S-P-O-U-D-A-Z, long O. Spoudazo. And spoudazo means to make every effort. To make every effort. It means to be motivated. Now, you're only going to make every effort and be motivated if you're in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, will motivate you. Bible doctrine in your heart will motivate you to make every effort. Be motivated. 2. Spoudazo combines the believer's motivation with his spiritual values and priorities. To live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spoudazo combines the believer's motivation with his spiritual values and priorities to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Three, being motivated, making every effort to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, protects the believer from being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Being motivated to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills protects the believer from being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Four, and your motivation is that when you stand before Jesus Christ, you will be approved. You will be approved by Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Your motivation is that when you want to live your life in the light of eternity, you know that you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. You know you're going to be evaluated. And your motivation is that you want to stand before Christ and be approved by Him. Five. So this motivation looks forward to the judgment seat of Christ and standing and presenting ourselves before Jesus Christ for evaluation. So this motivation looks forward to the judgment seat of Christ and standing and presenting ourselves before Jesus Christ for evaluation. Now 2 Timothy 2:15, by interpretation, the word workman is used here for the pastor teacher. By interpretation, it's looking at the pastor. And he fulfills this by being faithful and consistent to study and teach, study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. By application, it refers to the congregation, concentrating consistently and faithfully, assembling to concentrate on the teaching of the Word of God by the pastor. So by interpretation, workman refers to the pastor, his consistent and faithful studying and teaching of Bible doctrine. By application, it refers to the congregation in consistent and faithful assembling to concentrate on the teaching of the pastor. Six, learning the Word of God. Teaching the Word of God or learning the Word of God? For the pastor, teaching the Word of God is work. I know you don't, you probably just say, well, what does the pastor do? He doesn't do a damn thing. He just sits. He goes in that office and sits. And I agree. I sit. And so I used to, you see, I'm a track man. I always loved to run. I've always loved to run. I've loved to work out. I'm obviously not running hurdles anymore. But when I was, whether I was at seminary or here, I would go out, and when I was here, I was training to run the marathon. Now I'm a sprinter. The farthest I ever ran was 400 meters or 440 yards, and that'll like to kill me. And so I'm running long distance is not natural for me. But I did a lot of study on it, and I saw that this guy had a whole system that if you run, I wanted to run the marathon 8 minute miles. 26 miles, 345 yards, averaging 8 minute miles for the entire marathon. To do that, he said, for 2 months before, you need to go out and run 6 to 8 miles at an 8-minute mile pace, 5 days a week. And that's what I was doing. We were living in Buffalo, in a house in Buffalo. It was all dirt road then. And I went out and ran at an 8-minute mile pace, 6 miles, at least 6 miles up to 8 miles. I did that for a month, and they had in Las Vegas, they had I still have the Las Vegas Marathon. I wanted to run the Las Vegas Marathon. They had a mini marathon, and I had been training for a month. I ran the mini marathon, which is 13 miles. I ran the 13-mile mini marathon, and I did what I wanted to do. I was underneath the 8-minute mile pace for 13 miles. And I was all excited because this works. This guy has a great system, and I am going to run the marathon at the same thing. And I'm there talking to the people, and at the end of the race, and the people who headed it up, and I said, "Now, when is the Las Vegas Marathon?" And they said, "It's on Sunday," and that's all he had to say was Sunday. I go, "What? Sunday? Why would you run a marathon on Sunday? Don't you know everybody wants to go to church? What's wrong with you? Why wouldn't you run it on Saturday? Or Friday? Any day? Why Sunday?" I said, "I'm a pastor. I am not going to say, well, I'm not showing up to teach you because I'm out running a marathon, you know." So I never ran the marathon. I was looking forward to it. But after a while, my knees started bothering me, so I just got into jogging. And I would jog 4 miles. I looked forward to it. And in the summertime, I'd leave in the dark because it got too damn hot when the sun came up. So I leave in the dark. And I saw coyotes. I saw... When you leave that early in the morning, you see a lot of things you don't. Mountain lions, coyotes. I was jogging down one of the main roads, and here's this coyote comes right in front of me, 5 feet in front of me, big coyote with a cat in its mouth. And I said, "Good job." And I looked over, and the house where he probably got her from, and I thought, well... Some gal's going to wake up and want to know where the pussy is. And I thought about knocking on the door. I said, "Well, if that was your cat, he's breakfast." And then I got so I couldn't jog, so I started to wog. A wog was where you walk it partway and jog, walk and jog, walk and jog. So I wogged. Then that got to the point where I walked. And now I come over here and sit. My knees are pretty well shot. And I love to work out. I love to run. But I can't. But I can sit and study. And I love studying more now than ever before in my life. I love it. This is my happy place. This is my happy place. I look forward to coming here. I look forward to studying. And I look forward to teaching what I've studied. And I'm a few months ahead of all of you in here, but not to worry. Lord willing, the creek don't rise, and I'll be here. But that's all in God's hands. I'm not the quarterback. I don't call the plays. I'm not the potter. He is. I'm the clay. When he told Paul, "Your job is done. You're coming home." Paul went home. He wasn't sick. He could have taught a lot longer. Instead, he was decapitated and went home at 70, the age of 70. Greatest believer in the church age. Went home at the age of 70. I'm going to celebrate my 73rd birthday. I feel like I've cheated. 3 years I've cheated. But I'm not suicidal. I love studying and teaching God's Word. And this is my happy place and this is my vacation. But if God says, no, we're turning everything over to Let's Go Brandon in America. Okay. There's not much positive volition anyway, so come on home. Yes, sir. And don't think, if any of you feel bad, don't ever do that when it comes time and God says, get your ass up here, huh? I'm going to get up. At least drink a glass of good wine and toast me in heaven. Don't drink the cheap stuff that Vanslow has over here. You know? I always say that because he worked at Southern Wine and Spirits, so he knows all the good wines over here. He never gave any to me, but he did send me a bottle of Annie Greensprings one time and Corbel champagne, which I can afford, by the way, at $9.99 a bottle, you know. Workmen. Studying and teaching is work. Learning the Word of God is work. You assembling consistently and faithfully, filled with the Spirit, concentrating on the teaching, that's work. You must be motivated to keep on listening, even though the subject may not be of interest to you, or you see no particular use for it. 7. Learning Bible doctrine is happy work if you're motivated by the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God in your heart. Learning Bible doctrine is happy work. I hope that this is your happy place. It's certainly my happy place. 8. Your work is your motivation, your concentration, your understanding that there is no substitute for living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So your work is your motivation, your concentration, and your understanding that there is no substitute for living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. 9. The pastor is responsible for accurately handling the Word of God by studying and teaching consistently and faithfully. The pastor is responsible for accurately handling the Word of God by studying and teaching consistently and faithfully. 10. Every believer is responsible for accurately handling the Word of God by listening and learning Bible doctrine consistently and faithfully. Every believer is responsible for accurately handling the Word of God by listening and learning consistently and faithfully. All right, that's the first 3 points on the doctrine of shame. You have some more next week. Now, I'll give you a heads up, it'll be posted. Next week, classes will be Tuesday and Wednesday. Friday is New Year's Eve. We will have communion on Friday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. No class Thursday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, 4 p.m. 4 p.m. communion, followed by a movie. It's an excellent movie. It is true. An excellent movie, true. So communion starts at 4, probably over around 4:30. The movie's about an hour and a half. And it is excellent. I'm not going to tell you a lot about it. It's very remarkable. Father, we thank you, sir, for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.